from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
So before Lee and Rach and I all talk about the floods in the UK, I found a young man who is originally from my part of the world as I am in now, who's actually gone to England. He must think he's foolish, and is somewhere around 50 metres away from the floods in Worcester, primarily because he lives upstairs in a flat. Milko, welcome to the programme.
Oh, thank you very much, Eric. I'm really foolish in this English weather, and it's getting worse and worse, so thank you very much for that.
Okay. Yeah, right. Now, listen, tell me what you can see outside the window.
Well, I can see plenty of water.
Yes.
And it's rising every day, Eric.
Really?
The bad thing about it is the forecast is not positive about it.
No, and how are people getting around Worcester now, then?
I think the local council organized a shuttle bus, so whoever wants to go to town or on the other end of town, they need to get this shuttle bus, which operates 24/7.
Right.
But no cars can pass through the city center anymore. The flats, which were located near the river, they're all flooded. Mm. And people had their cars abandoned in the garage.
Really?
So you can imagine plenty of water up to the second floor, pretty much.
Good grief. And so presumably people are getting around on boats.
On boats, on anything but not cars. if they can swim, they can manage that as well.
No. I will say now publicly, please do not swim in the water, because the Environment Agency in the UK has said it could be polluted with all sorts of things, including some of the E. coli brands. So please don't swim in the water. but, I mean, this must be quite a hardship for so many people around you. Is that sort of, I've seen on the TV that there's this kind of community spirit. Is it really working?
I mean, to be honest with you, joke aside of the story, it is really sad story, because you can see so much water around those people, and the sense of community has strengthened so much. People are helping each other. There is this big community of English society anticipating, helping each other with whatever they can, just to share people's pain. Because I read just this morning that across the whole of England, there were more than 60,000 homes flooded.
Mm. Yeah,
so that's
exactly
a lot. And many of those homes are in Worcester, unfortunately, exactly where I live.
Well, that's the reason I got hold of you, because the national press is all over the place with, the towns near the capital city. But outside of that, they seem to be missing everybody, as happened down in Somerset on the Levels, and particularly up in Worcester as well. So how long has this been, the flood been in Worcester itself, Milko?
This particular flood has been lasting maybe for a week or slightly longer now.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, it's rapidly increasing, which is the bad thing. And the forecast doesn't look any good on that.
Right.
People remember similar floods. And I remember myself floods like this before, because I've been living here for 6 years now. But it has never been like this.
Okay, in which case, you remember floods like this before. So you had floods before. Was anything done in Worcester by the council to make it better after the last lot of floods?
I think they have made an effort, but certainly more things could have been done to improve the situation. I think it's really the weather which surprised everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I remember digging some canals and increasing the level of the land across the river.
Mm.
I remember such measures being taken by the council, but I think they haven't expected anything like this.
Right. So how are you getting on? I mean, you getting to the shops okay? What?
I live, nearby Sainsbury's. So I'm just
and there's many other shops around as well. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not a huge problem for me. But, I mean, I haven't been to town for 2 weeks now, because
you just can't.
Particularly because of the floods. But it just makes it much more difficult to get by.
Yeah.
And also you don't enjoy walking or
in the water.
Yeah, exactly. you'd rather prefer staying home. But now I need to go, for example, to the mosque, as you maybe know. And it will take me maybe twice as long to get there.
Gosh.
So I have to drive all the way to A449.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe drive three, four times more distance than I would usually just cross across town to go to the mosque.
Yeah. So you've got to go round and round to get round the water floods.
Exactly. I want to avoid that area, yes. And also it will be quite congested as well because all the traffic is going there.
Down that way as well. And there's no other way you can get into the centre?
Well, only maybe through the shuttle bus or the alternative I gave you by swimming. But
yeah, I wouldn't do that, young man. Well, listen, Milko, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. Stay safe, most important. Stay dry, most important. And thank you for joining us from Worcester.
From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Thank you, Milko, again, over there in Worcester. I would definitely get some waders, my friend. But that's another story, flipping heck. It's not nice over there, is it, Lee?
Well, to my way of thinking, people haven't really caught on to just how bad it is in England. There's a gung-ho spirit, which...
No, that's the British stiff upper lip, you know.
Well, that really was the next analogy I was going to make, yeah. Mm. We have this attitude of sort of laughing things off and pretending things aren't as bad as they are. And really... this is an absolute national disaster. We live in the heart of England, not far actually from where Milko is, and our house is actually on the top of a hill, which is one reason it's so cold. Yet we're not in danger of being hit by floods, but we're surrounded by floods. Mm-hmm. And yesterday when we went out in the car, we'd been warned to not go out in the car. And remember, this is the centre of England. This isn't down south. This isn't in Scotland. This is the centre of England. And the reason we'd been warned not to go out was because of the floods on the roads and also the number of trees that had collapsed. Yeah. This is a national disaster and we're treating it lightly.
Well, I don't know. It's one thing that, funnily enough, Australia, the UK and Slovakia have got in common. And you kind of touched on it a bit earlier, Rach, where, like the floods we had here a couple of years ago, when it was, you know, you could just see the top of the Tesco sign in the Tesco shop. The rest of it was underwater. Now, it didn't stop anybody. They just worked through it, got on with it, fixed it, and carried on the lives. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing we've got in common.
You've got to have a pragmatic attitude towards these natural disasters. And, I mean, you know, as you say, Australia's no stranger to flooding. I mean, I was on air with you guys in the middle of a flood when I was living in Gladstone. And I was lucky like Lee because I was up on a hill, but there were no food trucks coming in and out of the city, so there was nothing in the supermarkets to eat. Everybody had to stockpile. But, I mean, it's been the news that I've been hearing on our local news about this disaster that you guys are currently facing and the people in America as well, is that, there's some really bad weather and there's some flooding and that's unusual and there's this and there's that. And anyway, and I thought, what do you mean anyway? There's 108... mile per hour gusty winds coming, and there's you know, people have got having to snorkel, you know, when they go to work, and there's it's just really dangerous.
I know.
And I put a thing on Facebook the other day because most of my Facebook friends are actually from the UK.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, everybody be careful in this diabolical weather. You know, don't drive in it. Don't do, because I know the inherent danger of, you know, going out in weather like that. A tree will fall on you. You'll get sucked down a drain, and anything could happen.
Yep.
And the infrastructure is going to be absolutely rubbish. We were talking a couple of weeks about was it last week or the week before about that train line?
Yeah.
I mean, your infrastructure is in deep, deep doo doo, and I don't know why there's not much more being made of it.
Well, I think the trouble with some of it is there can't be. And as somebody quite rightly put it, it's okay jumping up and down and blaming everybody in the government and everybody else and their auntie. But the trouble is with England, it doesn't have continuous weather problems. And the perfect example is snow. Now, in Slovakia, when it snows, everything's ready because they're used to it. Every winter it snows like crazy. They've got big machines. They clean the roads. The trains are designed to go through the snow on the rail tracks. You know, there's an apology if there's a train 20 minutes late because it's normal. The trouble with England is none of it's normal.
No, that's normal, true.
It is normal, though. In Britain now. Well, it is really. If you think last year we had the worst snowstorms we've ever seen, and they've been building up over a period, and we were actually snowed in from, I think it was from November right through till almost March. Yeah. The weather.
Yeah, but Lee, that you just echoed my point. Last year it was snow. Not much snow this year. It's the water this year.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get across, is the fact that actually the weather patterns in Britain have changed so dramatically that we are now a country in crisis. And few people are catching on to the fact that we are actually in crisis. And, you know, for instance, we don't see anybody sending us aid. You know, we are a poor country. You know, we suffered badly with all sorts of financial problems, and we're not getting any aid. And the problem is, when you say we can't pass on blame, actually we should pass on blame.
Are you going to blame God?
That's the choice, isn't it? That's always the ultimate get-out clause, isn't it? It's an act of God. And you see, there are acts of God, and God did cause it to rain on us. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't God came down to smite us from the hilltops. It was just the fact that rain hit us. Mm. The problem is that the government actually refused to carry out so many kinds of repairs and remedial things to stop floods. They built flood walls which were inadequate, and also in on the River Severn, they refused to dredge. Oh, it wasn't the government, it was the Environment Agency, which is part of the government, actually refused to dredge that river.
Do you know
because
why?
Of a rare newt.
Because of the little fishes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's
go
let's
catch them.
I mean, the little fishes are used to living in water, we're not.
This is the problem with quangos, they believe their own spin. If they've got little newts down there that they want to protect, you go catch them.
Exactly.
You go catch them, put them in a tank, you dredge the river and you put them back when the water's ready.
Cheaper. Yeah. It was cheaper to do it this way. It saved money because you had an excuse not to spend the money. And let's face it,
because none of them have got the guts to stand up. Nobody's got the guts to stand up at the right time. But you can't blame Westminster for that. You've got to blame the agencies that everybody said you should have, because then the government's not in charge of it. So you can't have it both ways.
Well, government agencies don't actually fulfil their general role in life. And you're quite right. No, the main reason is that they're so hung up on procedures that it becomes almost impossible. But the other point that people are not really catching on to here is that Britain is not only suffering from pestilence and flood at this moment, we actually have a major fire on a peat bog.
Mm.
And so we're actually, this is a country in crisis, and people should be catching on. The news coverage we're getting in Britain is ludicrous.
I agree.
It is, because all we're doing is talking to people who are quite gung-ho about it and saying, we're not going to leave our homes. And we've got the army putting up sandbags. But there are people who've lost everything in here, and nobody's bothered to interview those people. And it's like we're trying to cover it up, like trying to make it out that it's not too bad.
I did actually see one piece where the flood warden was actually asked about something, and they said, no, the people don't want to be interviewed. And they went to a meeting of flood damage, a community meeting, and basically everybody turned their backs on the media. They literally, physically turned their backs on so you couldn't see them. They didn't want them there. And so I think that's one side of it. And yet on the other side of it, you've got two cyclists who've died in the flood area.
Yeah, exactly.
Which nobody seems to have reported, which is ridiculous.
Well, it has been reported, but I agree with you, it's not been really made much of. And that really is why I think there is... See, it's an attitude. Whenever we have rain is a joke in England. And I think people are still looking at this as just rainy old Britain that's just got a bit out of hand. But it's the damage to the infrastructure, which is going to cost millions upon millions of pounds to repair.
Right.
It's going to take so long. Turning your back on the media, yeah, that again is a strange attitude which has become more and more prevalent in the UK than I think in most other parts of the world, apart from say France or France. And the reason is that these people have taken such a politically correct attitude towards the press, which has blinded them and covered and made them miss the point of what the press is there for. The press is there to help. And if they have complaints, what's the use of turning your back on the people who are there to help you? The government and the army aren't really there to help you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I
that's
agree.
True. We've got these raging bushfires in Victoria at the moment. I mean, we know what it's like in Australia with bushfires. It's just part of the way we live, and unfortunately, it's horrendous. But when the press come, it's immediately an opportunity to have your voice, and it's a forum that and the press are great with. They've handled so many bushfire tragedies. They've had so many bushfire tragedies that they handle the victims of bushfire really beautifully, and they don't get in their face, and they ask them if they want an opportunity to say something, and they don't pressure them into, you know, interviewing, and they don't grab them when they're at the most vulnerable. They wait, and they wait, and they watch, and then they go, and they handle it beautifully. The press handle it beautifully in this country, and they do a great job when it comes to tragedies like that. And that way the victims of these horrible incidents of loss have then got a voice to say, this was the problem, or that was the problem, or this is what we need, or this is what the community needs. And as soon as people see that on television, they get a bunch of help from people who are doing
absolutely
a lot better than they are.
Which leads me straight on to there has been a horrendous accident with two cyclists killed in the flood-hit area of West Berkshire. And it happened on Thursday at 9 p.m. in Purley on Thames. And West Berkshire police are really, really keen to find somebody who was the driver of a BMW travelling along the 329 Purley Rise, which literally just rises out of the flood area, because they want to find out what's happening. They've got them out talking to next of kin and things like that at the moment. Now, if you were around the A329 Purley Rise in West Berkshire on Thursday evening around 9 o'clock, could you get in touch with the police on the same number as before, Crime Stoppers, 0800 555 111, 0800 555 111, because they'd love to hear from anybody who really knows what took place at that particular time. Now it's loony time. Facebook has expanded its gender options for user profiles. Please, Mr. Facebook, can I have anorak, please? Great. I want anorak. I want anorak.
Yeah.
You can have anorak. That.
No, but you can't.
You need to have it. Well, you should put other.
Should I?
Yeah.
I've always been others. I've always been others.
I enjoy others.
Anyway, Facebook has, if you haven't seen it, has figured out that Andrea's just walked in the room.
She has not.
Walked out then.
She hasn't.
Somebody's studio door just went, whose was it?
Not mine.
Not mine.
Here's the ghost.
It can only be you.
It's not me. Anyway, Facebook has worked out that not everybody wants to call themselves male or female.
Well, I think that's right. Why should you have to just condemn yourself to one sex? What's intersex? I'm intersex. You're intersex. Rachel's intersex.
Right.
Everybody's
aren't
intersex.
Only on a Friday.
Only on a Friday.
Well, that's when you have fish.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's the oysters.
I've got Valentine's Day and Rob's birthday.
Is it Rob's birthday today?
No, but it is in a couple of weeks. On Valentine's Day and on Rob's birthday, it's all good. Otherwise, forget about it.
Right, okay.
Do it twice today, then you won't have to do it on his birthday.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was already way ahead of you there.
Anyway, so
what's
now...
What's cisgender?
I don't know.
Cis gender. What's cisgender?
I have no idea.
Hang on, I'll find
if there's
out.
Anybody out there...
Knows what it is.
Yeah, and let us know if you are a member of the cisgender family.
Right.
I know what a transgender is. That's
yes,
when you do it.
I'm about to tell you.
Go on, then.
Captain Google tells me that it describes related types of gender identity where an individual's experience of their own gender is not the same as... Oh, okay. So what they identify that as.
Huh?
I see. I see.
I have no idea.
The explanation may be worse than the...
Yes. Start right. Look, you're talking to two stupid Englishmen. Start slowly.
Okay. I'll start again.
Right.
Okay. There are a number of... No, I can't use that. There's a big word in that. So it describes or relates to types of gender identity where a person's experience of their own gender matches the sex they were assigned at birth.
So that means you're normal.
That means a gay, doesn't it?
No, it means, individuals who have a match between the gender they were assigned at birth, their bodies and their personality, as opposed to transgender. So you don't have to call yourself male or female, but you can call yourself cisgender. I'm guessing that that's
which
what
you, could transmute into sissy.
You could, but a cisgender, like a transgender, where you are a male but you identify as a female, a cisgender is a male who identifies as a male or a female who identifies as a female.
Which means you
can be anybody.
Exactly. So I don't know why there's a word for it, but whatever.
Well, in television...
That's what it means.
In television, they call it asexual. Same thing.
No, asexual means you're neither
asexual
one nor the
other.
Asexual
means you're neither.
Oh, yes. Right. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bisexual means that you pay for it.
Yeah.
And the others,
trans
like heterosexual,
yeah,
means that you wear hats.
Yes.
And
Lee,
I mean, it's just endless.
Lee,
what?
Stop digging yourself a hole. You never get out of it.
I was just trying to remember.
Anyway.
That's a terrible thing to say. Yeah, that was an allusion to things.
Yeah,
no,
I know.
Is a homosexual the one that you have at home?
That's right.
Yeah, of course it is. That's right. Exactly. You keep it at home. You do SEX at home.
Exactly. Anyway, there was loads about this next story, which really got my hooter.
Lesbian means that you're on your way.
Oh,
lesbian on our way.
Anyway, Facebook's Mark Zuckerman has donated $1 billion to charity, according to headlines. But he hasn't.
I'm calling him Zuckerman every time.
Zuckerberg,
his name's Zuckerberg, and he'll sue us if we don't. Oh, well, he can try. We haven't got any money, but
we haven't got any money, so it's all right. Anyway, Mr. Boss of Facebook allegedly has donated $1 billion to charity. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
He ain't. What he's done is he's donated 18 million Facebook shares to this charity. He hasn't given them money.
So in simple terms, he's actually given some of our friends on Facebook away to charity.
Yes.
This man's a monster.
No, he's not. But I wish people would get it right. It's lovely that he's taken some of the shares that he owns from Facebook and given them to a charity. Nice. So the headline should be, Facebook's Zuckerberg has donated 18 million Facebook shares to charity. Not that he's donated $1 billion.
See, that doesn't sound like Bill Gates. It doesn't sound like Steve Jobs. It just sounds like a Zuckerberg.
Yes.
So he's got to spin it a certain way, I guess, to make it sound a bit more fancy schmancy and a bit more
Oh, okay then.
It's
anyway,
not really cost him anything then, has it?
No.
No, it's cost him nothing.
Nothing really.
So actually, he's done nothing.
Well, he's given some paper to a charity.
That's right.
Yes.
And money's bits of paper as well. So actually, he's given nothing away except something that doesn't belong to him because it's ours in the first place.
No, it's not yours in the first place.
It is. It's our identities that he's using to raise this money.
No, 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 no.
It's my case. The world knows I'm right.
Rest my case as well. Terms and conditions of use.
What?
Yeah, that's true.
Yep, there you go.
We agree to hand over all that information.
Yeah, when you sign up.
So he is using our identities and our information and our photographs and our comments to give money to charity that hasn't cost him a penny.
Well, that's a good thing, then. You've just donated to charity. Well done, Lee.
Yeah, well done. Thank you. Well, that's right. We've done it, haven't we? Yeah.
All three of us. Anyway, a boy of 10 years old has stolen his parents' car to visit his grandparents 68 miles away, then tells the police he's a dwarf who's forgotten his license.
He's a cool kid.
I love this kid. I wish I had this kid.
Yeah, he's
this
wonderful.
This kid is just a genius. To think he got pulled up by the police and he had the absolute frame of mind to say, I'm a dwarf and I forgot my license. just had the bollocks to like pull that off. That's brilliant. I love that kid.
He's wonderful, actually. And apparently he got something, was it 10 kilometres down the road before veering off? He was driving in snow as well.
He really loves his grandparents.
Absolutely. I wonder just what they can do to him. They can't do anything to him.
No.
No, they can't really. His parents can. Parents can tell him off and make him go and sit in a naughty car and things like that.
Well, that's just true.
He's driving until he's 20.
I was once wagging it from school and I phoned up and put on a deep voice and pretended to be my mother. Saying, Lee's not very well today. He won't be in school today. And they knew right away it was me.
Funny that. With a voice like yours, are you really surprised? Anyway, this kid gets 10 kilometres down the road, loses the car, a snowplough driver finds him, and the boy said to him, I'm a dwarf and I forgot my driving licence. So anyway, this guy had the sense to phone the police.
He used a deep voice as well.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm a dwarf.
Yeah. He had his baby sister in the car.
I know. What a clever little kid.
To back his story up, hasn't he?
I bet he's got those grandparents that give really good sweets.
Well, there is that.
They give really good sweets.
At 10 years old, to know how to go towards your grandparents who are 60 kilometres away is phenomenal in its own right.
And then to be able to come up with, I'm a dwarf and I lost my life, is genius. Can we adopt this kid? Can he be our mascot or something?
I think he should be our mascot. Yes,
Should we make him the mascot for the show?
I think we should.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to find him and have a word. Well, if he's a 10-year-old kid in Scandinavia, he'll speak English anyway, so we can talk to him, Rach. Lee might have a problem.
Let's find him.
We'll find him.
We're gonna celebrate
his mischievous nature.
No, because in they won't do because of Scandinavian rules.
I don't know what Scandinavian rules are, but we'd mention him in Britain.
I know you would. Yeah.
And we'd name him. We'd have photographs of him and everything. Well, interesting.
No, exactly. Anyway, we move on to the veteran radio star, Dave Lee Travis, has been found not guilty on 12 charges of indecent assault. He's still got to face the decision over whether two other charges, which the jury couldn't decide on, will be retried or not.
Yeah.
So the guy's, still got to sit there biting his nails for a bit. The tragic thing I find about this one is it doesn't matter about the case now. Those 12 cases, he has been found not guilty. And yet the guy's had to sell his house to pay for his legal fees. And I don't get that at all.
What don't you get?
Why is he exonerated?
He hasn't been exonerated.
No, he hasn't.
No. Why do you think it's wrong that he should have to sell his house to...
Say for a moment he gets to the next two cases and the judge says whichever way and the jury says whichever way and he's not guilty of everything, all right? Then why should he have had to sell his house to pay for his legal fees when it's proven he's not guilty?
Well, it's just the way of the world, isn't it? That if you want to... He could have been given a defence lawyer, sorry. He could have been given a defence lawyer for free. Mm. The state would have provided him with one. Mm. But he'd amassed a certain amount of money over his lifetime and his success, which he decided then to use to maximise his potential to escape these charges.
In which case, I'm sorry, boys and girls, we've got to cut it there. Got to say goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Rach.
Goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.